Today's episode of The Lost Podcast was sponsored by SquirtShirts.com. From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm the panda bear.
Okay, you're the panda bear today.
Cuddly and cute. Why was the guy going to gift wrap? Who wraps a teddy bear?
I don't know. Maybe that's...
You want a gift wrap? Who gift wraps a teddy bear?
Well, anyways, welcome to the Friday edition of the Lost Podcast. And wow, I think we had another great episode today.
I thought it was pretty good.
Something new today. A new angle at how to present a lost episode, I think, was presented today, and it was very
interesting. I believe
so. But yeah, so we got a lot to talk about in the last recap today. Got your phone calls, but also we have an interview that Doc Arz did with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, which will be on our show today.
Oh, really?
Yes. So well, that'll be cool. After the phone calls. Was there any questions?
Any spoilers?
I don't know. I haven't listened to the full thing. He just gave it to me before we got this, so I think we're going to be enjoying it together at the same time for the first time.
Okay.
Jack, did we have any questions answered today in the season?
We had almost three, but we've ruled that there was two questions answered.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't talk about the other one, but I think I made a ruling on it. So.
Okay, we'll get to that in the segment.
Right.
Okay. And your crackpot theory of the week.
Yeah.
You've been on kind of a roll. Do you think you're going to have another good one today, or are you going to start going
downhill?
Well,
I had one while watching it, but I guess it's already been proven that it's already true, so I came up with another one.
Okay. All right. Well, is it a good one, or is it a crappy one?
They're always great. They're all gold.
All right. But before we get anything today, if you'd like to buy a Jay and Jack t-shirt, you can click the link right now in the AAC feed, or check out jayandjack.com and click out the big link in the sidebar, or shopsalmonate.com. All right, Jack, are you ready for some Lost recap?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Lost recap. Lost recap. Lost recap.
All right, it's Lost recap time. We had a new episode today. Ji Yoon. I apologize if I'm messing that up. How do you say it, Jack? Did I say it right correctly?
It sounded good to me, but I wasn't listening to you, so go ahead.
Okay.
I was writing something down.
All right. We start out going up to the freighter, and...
Frank's brown bagging it.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what he has in there, but we find out later anyway.
I said, what, did he go to like a 7-Eleven or something?
Well, it's like he has some secret cargo, but we find out it's just peas later on, so it's not that cool.
Yeah.
But Kimney comes up to him saying, you know, Frank needs, he's going to the captain. So then Frank keeps on going, and he comes up to Regina, Regina that we heard on the communication phones. And she seems a little bit disturbed. She's reading a book upside down, as Frank points out.
That's how I used to read William Shakespeare.
So then Frank moves along, and Frank actually goes to Syed and Desmond, who are in hold.
Yeah, they're being held.
Because the captain didn't appreciate them going to the communications room.
Right. Because there have been problems going on lately.
So Syed says, you know, he wants to meet the captain, and Lupita says, you don't want to meet the captain.
No.
So this captain, he seems to be pretty bad guy, huh?
Yeah. Well, all he gave him was lima beans.
Was that what the captain gave him or Frank gave him?
Well, that's what Frank gave, okay. But I'm assuming it came from... Well, that's all they had, right?
Yeah, because somebody, you know, sabotaged the kitchen.
I'd rather be starving. Not a fan of the lima beans.
We go to the island, and Sun and Jim... Sun is worried about, you know, where Desmond and Syed are, and...
It's been 3 days, right? Is that what you
said? She said it's been 3 days, and Jin actually starts wanting to talk about baby names.
Yeah.
And Sun doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to jinx, you know, what's going on.
Well, didn't I thought I heard Sun say a good name for the baby would be Jay.
Like J-A-E?
Yeah. Did I hear that?
No, I'm sorry. I think you're mistaken there. And then Jin says he wants to name, he says he thinks it's going to be a girl, and he wants to name her Ji Yoon.
Yes.
So, then we go to, well, we don't know yet, flashback, flash forward. Sun is in a, it looks like a hotel, right? Or just an apartment?
I think it's an apartment.
Yeah. And she gets something out of the medicine cabinet. It looks like some kind of cream or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll find out. We'll analyze that and we'll know by Monday's show. But then she goes into her room. She turns off the TV, which is believed to be expose. Remember?
Yeah, I know. What was the saying that she? What was her saying?
Razzle dazzle.
Razzle dazzle.
Nikki.
How could I?
Nikki
for, how could I forget that?
Nikki from Nikki and Paolo Fame's TV show.
Yes.
Or Razzle dazzle. Lived on. But then she starts having pains, and she calls for an ambulance, and she says she's pregnant. And we pull away. We see Sun with her pregnant belly, and she is pregnant. So we find
is
out.
Is that the technical term, pregnant belly?
Yeah, pregnant belly. So then we find out that is a flash forward, and cut the loss. So a very nice beginning, I think. So now we know for sure that Sun is one of the Oceanic Six. We don't know for Jin yet. And she is pregnant and giving birth to her baby.
Yeah.
We come back from commercial break. We go to Jin, who is in his flashback or flash forward. Jin runs it.
Well, now at first, were you thinking flash forward or flashback?
I was still thinking flash forward.
Well, I said, cool, Jin got off the island.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the whole time, I didn't really think it was a flashback, but Carl, she was saying the whole time that it was a flashback. Back.
Actually, I started thinking when I saw the phone and nobody recognized him.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw the phone, I was like, man, it's an old phone, but maybe I thought it was like some kind of business phone or something. But it seems to be the phones are like the tells for it's a flashback or flash forward.
Yeah.
But he asks for a panda.
Yeah.
And he gets a big old stuffed panda bear. And that's the clerk there says, you know, oh, who's this for? And he gets a call. And then he asks if he needs to go to a maternity ward. He says, yes. And he says, congratulations. And he rushes out with the panda bear.
Right.
And he comes out of the flashback. We go to Sun, Kate, and Jin. Kate tells Sun what the Frades did, saying that Charlotte knocked her out. And
well, he said the redhead.
The redhead.
He said the redhead.
And says that she thinks, you know, they're just trying to score brownie points. Tells him what happens in the last episode, basically. But did you feel like Kate was kind of tattling on the Frades?
I don't know, but she had the best line because Sun goes, "Why would Juliet lie? Force of habit." she was kind. Well, I think she's upset. She just got smacked in the head.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. We don't know if she saw Juliet kiss Jack, or Jack kiss Juliet.
Mm.
She might be a little upset. Cut her some slack.
I don't know. I don't feel sorry for her. I think she brings a lot of it upon herself.
Don't you get a little upset, a little agitated when someone hits you in the back of the head because you're too stupid to realize that you turn your back on them?
That's what I'm saying. She brings a lot of it on herself. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too hard on Super Kate.
I think you are.
I expect a lot of Super Kate, and she's just not living up to my expectations right now.
Well, she's under a lot of stress.
Okay, all right.
Well, you know, also she realizes, too, if she gets off the island, they're going to know who she is.
That is true.
She's got to deal with that kind of stress. So she's under a lot of stress. Let's cut her some slack.
All right. I'll cut her a little bit of slack, but I'm a little bit agitated by Kate.
I know you kicked Claire to the curb.
Uh-huh.
Let's give Kate some slack.
Okay. All right. We then go to Desmond and Saeed, who are still in lockdown. Saeed doesn't like his peas.
It's beans.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beans. Lima beans. I'm sorry.
Why do you keep calling them
peas? Lima beans, peas. It's all the same. They're nasty. It's all that matters.
No, peas are good.
I like neither. But they get a note through a little vent on the door. That's when Saeed starts to say Ben had a man on this boat.
Right.
And note says...
Didn't you think it was kind of strange the way they kind of approached the note? It's like they were kind of hesitant to go near it.
Like it was a bomb or something?
Well, because Desmond goes, what is it?
It's a piece of paper.
It's a piece of paper. Oh, my. It could explode. Watch out. It took him forever to go to the note.
Well, hey, if Locke wrote the note, you can never be too sure.
Well, yeah, that's true. It has a little fuse on the end of the note.
But the note says to not trust the captain.
Yes.
We then go to Sun, who then comes up to Faraday, and she asks him if they're here to rescue us. And Faraday's kind of hesitant. He says he's not really at liberty to say. It's not his call. And Sun says...
And whose call is it?
Yes.
I don't know.
So then
he's just too nice. He's just
he is too
he's
nice.
He's the wrong guy to ask.
Exactly. I mean, you can tell Faraday wants to rescue them, but he has basically no control in the situation.
Right.
So then Sun says, "Thank you. I'll be on my merry way." We then go to Jin and Jack, and Jin asks Jack for some cereal.
Now, don't you think it would have been funny if Jack would have said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand you."
Why would that?
Just to kind of mess. Just here's a guy trying to learn English, and you say, "I don't know what you're saying." I don't.
That's just cruel. Why would you want to do that to poor Jin?
It's just to have some fun on the island. Lighten things up. You're under a lot of stress.
So to pick on a guy who's trying to learn English, that's just cruel.
Yeah.
He's not Sawyer now.
Well, that's I thought it would have been funny. I'm just messing with you.
Because you're a sick, sick man, Jack.
I am.
So then Jack says, "Wow, you're picking up the English pretty quick." And he says, "Sun and Sawyer are helping him." But he likes Sun better than Sawyer helping him with it.
He says he understands it better than he speaks it.
Yes.
I thought he was doing a great job.
Yeah, I thought he was doing a great job, too. It's kind of nice to see him progress. And it's nice to have Jin have those moments where he speaks English. And I think it's a great, you know, evolution of his character. But then Sun comes up as well. And Jack asks how Sun is doing. And she says, "You know, besides the morning sickness, doing all right." And then Jack leaves. And Sun tells Jin to get 2 days' worth of food because we're going to Locke's camp.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I don't know. It doesn't seem very logical to me. But I guess she's frustrated because these Fraidies don't seem to be wanting to rescue them.
Well, she's afraid of what they might do because, you know, she found out from Tattletale that she got hit in the head.
Yeah.
But she doesn't, and Faraday wouldn't tell her what was going on, so.
She's trying to do what's in the best interest for her baby, which is understandable.
So let's go to the guy that's just blowing people up and killing people.
Maybe she'll give her a grenade breakfast or something.
Yeah.
All right. We then cut the commercial break. We come back to Sun, who is in Juliet's tent trying to sneak out some medicine, some vitamins. And Juliet says, "Well, you should have, you know, at least 20 more.
Supply.
Yeah, 20 more vitamins." And that's when Sun tells Juliet her plan. She's going to go to Locke's camp. And Juliet tries to get her to stay. But Sun will have none of it. She just grabs the vitamins out of her hand.
Right.
Seems a little
forceful. I'm
taking them. We then go to her flashback, Sun's flashback, and she is being taken into the hospital. And you see one of the nurses said, "Oh, is she one of the Oceanic Six?" He's like, "Yeah." So it's confirmed she is one of the Oceanic Six. We then go to, then she goes into the little hospital room, and they're taking off her jewelry, and she's really upset about them trying to remove her wedding ring.
Right. But you know you swell.
Yes.
You know.
But she seems very upset that she's trying to take away the wedding ring. And she's wants Jin. She wants her husband. Because until this point, I was thinking that they got divorced or something, or they weren't still together. That's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking flashback. I was thinking they were maybe divorced or something like that. And maybe Jin was back working with Mr. Pike.
Right.
So then we go to Jin's quest for the panda. And he tries to get a taxi cab. Puts the panda in the taxi cab. He gets a phone call, but then somebody knocks the phone out of his hand. It gets run over, and then the cab goes away. And Jin's just not having a very good time trying to get this poor panda bear. And
he's having a rough time.
And kudos to Ryan from the transmission, actually got us that information. I remember that. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
But then we come out of the flashback. We go to Kate giving Jin and Sun a map to go to Locke's camp. Now, to me, that's another thing that kind of bugged me about Kate, is she knows that Locke's kind of in the loony bin right now. Why would she willingly send Jin and Sun on that way?
Because she doesn't trust Juliet. It comes to her, she has so much hatred built up towards Juliet, she'll do anything to get Juliet upset with her. She doesn't care.
But see, that's the thing. Is that really responsible? I think it's less that she doesn't trust Juliet. It's just that she doesn't like Juliet because she's moving in on Jack.
Well, I think it's too common. She doesn't trust her. She made the comment, force a habit, when she's lying. She doesn't trust Juliet.
Yeah, but how much is that, like, if she really trusts, or just she doesn't like Juliet because she's kind
of
with Jack?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay.
And like she said, she's under a lot of stress.
Okay. But
you're not thinking clearly.
But then Juliet comes in saying she tries to stop him again. And Sun, you know, will have none of it. So she keeps going. And then Juliet kind of pulls a jerk league move. She tells Jin that Sun had an affair.
I'm like, what?
And I'm like, whoa. There's going to be like...
Now, here's the part. Why didn't she just deny it?
Exactly. I think she could have denied it, but...
When were Juliet and Sun talking that Jen would have known they were talking? I mean, why would I tell her?
But, you know, maybe Sun felt it was finally time to be honest, you know, with the situation. But Sun slapped Juliet, and Juliet kind of deserved it. But at least it worked in Juliet's case. It got Jen to walk away and Sun to stay instead of leaving to Locke's camp.
You know, we didn't talk about it, but Juliet took quite a beating from Charlotte.
Yeah, she was pretty beat up and bruised, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was pretty. She got smacked around quite a bit last week.
We cut the commercial break. We come back to Sun and Jen, and Sun is trying to explain to Jen. Jen will kind of have none of it. He's getting his fishing poles. He just kind of wants to go out and have, you know, time to think, probably.
Right.
And Bernard comes up and asks if he can go along. And
nice timing from Bernie.
Yeah. But then he goes, oh, maybe I shouldn't be here. But then Jen says, no, come along. I kind of don't want to talk to my wife right now.
Yeah.
She cheated on me. But so then it's a nice scene between Jen and Bernard on the ocean. And
now you think Bernard went there knowing there was a problem and kind of talked about marriage and, you know, here's a young couple. And
well, I think he didn't go to talk to Jen at first, but I think once he
not
did
at first, but then when he realized there was a problem, because he saw there was tension going
on.
Yeah,
exactly. I think once he did find out that that's what was going on, he then decided, you know, to kind of give, you know, a wise speech about
what. At first I'm thinking this is the best they can do for Bernie. He walks up, he's in the middle, but then you see the whole scene develop, I said, okay, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So he's just kind of doing what he thinks is best. And yeah, so he was just giving a nice marriage speech, and he did a nice thing about karma and saying, you know, the good guys, you know, it's, he tells him a story about why he stayed because it's the right thing to do between Bernard and Rosie.
Exactly.
And then Jen catches a fish and he says, see, it's good karma.
No, he said it's karma. And I said, no, it's a fish.
We then,
but Bernie's been on the island a little while. He's a little, you know.
I thought that was a really nice speech. I thought that was a really nice thing by Bernard saying, you know, marriage, it's a blessing, but it's a lot of work.
Oh, right. And Bernie is right.
So then we go to Desmond and Saeed. Doctor comes in to get them. I love how his name is Doctor. We don't, like, have a name for him yet. To get them to meet the captain. They got on the deck, and the helicopter is gone.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And he says, Frank...
He had to go do an errand.
Exactly. Frank, what kind of errands is Frank going to... He's going to go to the grocery store and get something besides lima beans?
Well, if you're tired of eating lima beans...
So he obviously is going to the island because there's not really anywhere else he can go, right? Unless there's another ship somewhere?
Unless there's another island.
Yeah, that we don't know about?
Maybe Widmore has a boat somewhere off the freighter somewhere?
Yeah.
He's reporting... I don't know. At this point, I don't have a clue.
But then we see Regina, who's wrapped herself in chains, very like, what's Jacob O'Malley, or what was the ghost from Christmas Carol?
Oh,
Jacob Marley.
Right.
Yeah. Which is another Charles Dickens reference, maybe. No, she's just using the chains to weigh herself down, and she jumps overboard and commits suicide.
It sure looks that way.
So, yeah, Rosinski and Regina, these people who we thought were going to be major characters, died pretty quick.
Yeah.
And no one
went to rescue.
No, and then, you know, Saeed and Desmond are
Saeed and Desmond are, like, freaking out, and they're like, that's just Regina.
It's just another one. No big deal.
It happens.
But then, so...
You know what it could have been is just because, like, maybe the captain was telling the truth. Things are going on around this... around us that we can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
We're not risking another person's life to go get her.
Yeah, exactly. Then the captain comes out and tells him to get back to work, and he introduces himself. Now, at first glance, when you first saw the captain, did you kind of get a feeling that to me, when I first glanced, I was like, whoa, is that Goodwin? Did he kind of have a look of Goodwin? Or is that just me?
That was just you.
Oh, okay. Like, when I first looked, I was like, oh, is that Goodwin? But, I mean, he isn't, obviously, but that's what I kind of felt at the beginning.
We saw Goodwin last week.
Yes, we did.
And he wasn't looking like Goodwin.
Not the dead Goodwin.
No.
We then go to the captain. And this is a pretty cool scene. He talks to Desmond and Saeed. And he says that he works for Charles Widmore. Desmond goes, Charles Widmore? He goes, oh, yeah, you know him.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know him.
And then he then brings him into his quarters and he shows him the black box from Oceanic 815.
Well, he says, do you know what this is? And of course, Saeed, right away, that's a black box.
Yeah, except it's red.
A flight recorder. Yeah. I'm like going, I wouldn't know that.
See, I thought it would have been kind of cool if they maybe played the what was in the black box. And maybe
you knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I know. But then he says, you know, this was found, you know, deep in this trench in the Oceanic 6. But then the funny or Oceanic 815. Funny thing is, you guys are still here. And then he said that that crash that was under the ocean was staged. And his biggest question he has is, where did they get? Not only did they send, you know, 300 some odd families through all this trouble,
324.
Yeah, 24. But where did they get 324 dead bodies?
Hmm.
He says, that's why we need to speak to Mr. Benjamin Linus.
Right.
We then go to Sun, who's sitting on the beach. Juliet comes up and tells her that, you know, she's sorry for what she did, but she needed to do it because she's her patient. And she says, you know, if this doesn't happen, if you don't get off the island, you will die.
Now, couldn't she have done something like this before talked to her like this instead of breaking the news
She tried to. She said. She said exactly that. She said the same thing, that in 3 weeks you will die. What more do you need?
I don't.
But we then go to Sun's flashback. It's Sun actually starting to give birth. Flash forward. And they want to do an emergency C-section. She says, no, I want to wait for Jin. And she says, no, we need to do this now. And then she gives birth naturally. And then she gives birth to her baby daughter.
Right.
And she keeps on asking for Jin, but a lovely baby daughter. And
yes.
I think a lot of people are maybe right there thinking if it was going to be maybe Michael's baby or something like that.
So I think we can put that theory to rest.
Yes, so it is not Michael's baby. Was that one of the questions?
No.
No, okay.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, so then we come out of the flash forward with Saeed, Desmond, and the doctor. The doctor is taking him to their barracks. And he says, this is more of the quiet area. He says, this is the more quiet part of the ship. And Desmond says, well, aren't you guys, like, anchored here? What kind of noise is going on? So he opens up the door, and where those cockroaches scatter about.
It sure look like cockroaches to me.
I'd rather just, like, sleep on outside the deck than sleep in that nasty barrack. I'm sorry. But then he looks up, and there's a blood stain on the wall. It looks like somebody Rosinski'd themselves.
Yeah.
And then he asks Johnson to come clean it up, and Johnson says, oh, I'll get it later. And he's
in one of the best kept secrets in Lost history.
So then the man comes forward in shadow, and then he comes out, and who is it? It's Michael. And he introduces himself as Kevin Johnson.
Yes.
So now,
the former guard for the Phoenix Suns.
Now, I know Saeed knows Michael, obviously, but did Desmond see him or not?
No,
because he didn't.
Well,
He didn't see him when he was first in the hatch. Because remember, Michael was still on the Taylor side of the beach.
What about when he was drunk and he had the sailboat?
Yeah, when he was drunk with the sailboat, did he ever run into Michael? Because they were in the same place.
He had to have.
I wonder.
I was wondering that myself, and I kept going back and forth. And I can't remember.
Granted, he was drinking heavily, so who knows if he'd really remember or not. But
right.
So, but they were in the same place around the same time.
Right.
Because when Desmond showed up in his boat, they were having the funeral for Libby and Anna Lucia.
Yeah.
So then we go to Sun and Jin.
Well, wait a minute. Okay. Did the party of five, did they leave before Desmond?
No, remember Desmond was already on the island because
that's right. I bet you they did meet because Hurley was part of the party of five.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't remember actually ever seeing them actually meet face to face because Desmond was kind of chilling on the beach when they were kind of in the hatch area.
Yeah, was Michael on the other side of the island? He already left on his own, didn't he?
No. Remember, they went together. They went with Michael.
I know. Okay, that's right. I can't remember.
No, they were definitely there at the same time, but I don't know if they ever actually met face to face.
Right.
So we go to Sun, who is in her tent, and Jin brings in dinner, and he says, you know...
Always the nice guy.
Yes, he says, you know, I understand I wasn't there for you. I understand the man I was, and he forgives her, and it was a very touching scene. And he says, you know, if we want to go to Locke, we can go do that. And she says, no, she wants to stay here. She needs to get off the island. And Jin says, you know, he will help. He'll do everything he can to get her off the island. And she says, I was so afraid of losing you. And he says, you will never lose me. And it was a very touching, sweet scene, I thought.
I was crying.
So then we go back to Jin's flashback. And Jin appears with his panda. And but then he goes up to the room. And then we find out that it is not his baby he's going to. It is, in fact, the boy of an ambassador that Mr. Pike sent him to give the panda to. And here I was like, oh, no, Jin's back working with Mr. Pike. But no, it was...
No, that point I knew for sure it was a flashback.
Okay. And then... but then, you know, he gives it to Panda and he says, you know, congratulations for Mr. Pike. And he then walks away. And then he talks to one of the nurses, says, oh, it wasn't yours? Like, no, I've been married for only 2 months. It's a ways away. So then we find out it is a flashback, not a flash forward.
Right.
Which is a really neat thing because Jin and Sun had like two completely opposite flashback and a flash forward, which is really nice. I thought a nice twist.
I thought it was cool.
Then we go back to Sun, who's in her apartment, and then she's definitely not pregnant anymore.
My wife pointed out she got her shape back.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Awful quick.
Yeah, but remember Claire did too. Claire had, you know, her figure right back like the next day almost. Then we don't really know how much time has passed since she actually gave birth. There's a knock on the door, and who is it? Hurley. Hurley came to visit.
Looking quite dapper.
Yeah, so this, I think, would be before the incident where he ended up going back to Santa Rosa.
It would have to be.
So, yeah, this is definitely has to be pretty early on in since they got back from the island, I would assume.
Right.
So then he holds the baby, and...
She asked, is anyone else coming?
Yeah.
And he said no.
No, he asked her if anyone else was coming, and she said no. He says, oh, good.
Okay, yeah.
And then he says, you know, should we visit him? And then we go to a graveyard, and then we find out that Jin is dead, or is he? And then she says, you know, I miss you. And she named him Ji-yeon, like he wanted, and he was right about it being a girl, and cut to Lost. Now, here's the thing, though. On the tombstone, it said he was born November 27th, 1974, but he died... September 22nd, 2004. So that means the date on that tombstone is the date of the crash. So we are to assume that he is still alive because they're saying that maybe he died in the plane crash.
So is it from the fake plane crash? They got his body?
Well, they just didn't have the body there at all. It was just like a gravestone there marking, you know.
Okay.
So... Jin, as far as we can assume, is not dead.
Right.
Because...
Which I don't think he is.
Exactly, because the grave marker said he died at the day of the plane crash, September 22nd, 2004.
Now, is this the secret they're keeping? Because maybe he doesn't want to go back to work for Sun's dad?
Exactly. Is it because he doesn't want to work for Mr. Pike? You know, or what reason why? Or maybe just because he could only get Sun off the island. Maybe that is the reason. Don't know why, because he said he'd do whatever he could do to get her off, and maybe that was the only option they had.
Right.
But yeah, so it definitely makes things very interesting. He is not dead, as far as we can assume, because...
So does Aaron count as a six then, I guess, huh?
I guess so. Yeah, seems rather interesting. And it also brings up to the point in how they explain Aaron being there, and how they explain Sun being pregnant, because... Depending on how long she was on the island, how did she get pregnant? Or
she was pregnant before she...
Exactly. So that means that in order to keep their plan going, that they couldn't have been on the island longer than 9 months, right?
Right. Well, she was, yeah, she, well, depending on when she, how, well...
Well, that's what I'm saying, is if she must, the span can't go longer than them being on the island longer than 9 months, right?
Right, exactly.
If they're going to say Jin died during the plane crash.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean Jin couldn't have died later on in the island story that we haven't gone to, but as far as his death on the tombstone, it's a lie because it said he died on the date of the plane crash.
Right, and we know he didn't.
Exactly. So, very interesting. Another great episode. I really like the dual storyline, the flashback, flash-forward storyline. I think it added a really nice element, and the storyline is moving along really nicely. I'm really enjoying the Desmond Saeed story right now. And now that Michael's in the picture, it looks really, really interesting.
Wait, that's Kevin Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin Johnson.
That's not Michael.
And there is still one more episode. We have one more episode next week. It's not 7, it's 8 now.
So I was right.
You were right. I was wrong.
Okay.
Once again. All right, so Jack, are you ready to get some listener feedback about this episode?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Before we get into listener feedback, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey there, it's me, your baby dog king. I'm to tell you about SquirtShirts.com. I know you love me, but you're always dressing me up in dopey clothes, covered with ducks and bunny rabbits. At SquirtShirts, their funny designs are based on our favorite TV shows, movies, video games, and more. Go to SquirtShirts.com right now.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time, and what we're going to do today is going to actually have a short listener feedback. We're just going to kind of play some initial reaction calls and kind of just generally go over them afterwards so we can have some more room for the Damon and Carlton interview that Doc Ars did for UGO.com and is letting us have for our show today. So, Jack, what do you say we get into some listener feedback?
I say we do it, officer.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jane, Jack, it's Massachusetts Mike, and I'm just here to say that that episode was one of my favorites this season, even though my favorite character dies in it. But so far, over the past seasons, my favorite characters was Boone and Charlie, and then Jin. So because they're dying, I've decided Locke is now my favorite character. I don't know. Not too fond of him. So hopefully my streak will continue, I guess. And thanks. Great show. See you later.
Hey, Jane, Jack. This is Ben from New Jersey. So I just finished the Sun and Jin episode, Ji-Yeon. And I gotta tell you, this is probably the best Sun and Jin episode ever. I mean, it was compelling. The acting was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I was emotionally invested in the characters. It was just phenomenal writing. Yunjin Kim and Daniel Day Kim did a wonderful job. Jin dying. Wow, did not expect that one. I mean, I don't even know what to think about that. Maybe it was probably, I think Mr. Peck probably put a hit out on Jin once he realized that he didn't deliver the watch that he was supposed to after he got off the island or something like that. But yeah, man, such a good episode. I mean, it was really, really good. And I got a question. I watched the trailer after the episode ended. I watched the trailer for next week, and it said that the Michael episode, that next week we're going to find out more about Michael and stuff. So it said that there's going to be an all-new Lost next Thursday at 9. Now, I thought you guys said that there was going to be a 4 or 5 week break, and then they come back with episode 8. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe you guys can tell us or something. But overall, great episode, and I cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say. Keep up the great work with the show, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Jan, Jack, it's French Toad calling from New Jersey. Just got finished watching the new episode, Ji-Yeon, and oh my god, I have no idea what's going on. Is Jin dead? Is Jin alive? Is he married? Is he not? Curly's kind of cool because he comes to visit Sun. Yeah, that was crazy. Oh yeah, and Jack, that kind of ups your theory about what's her face? Juliet not being able to be trusted because she will go as far as to mention to Jin that Sun was cheating on him, but at least Jin is forgiving. Oh yeah, and also I think Michael was brainwashed. Although I am kind of happy to see Harold Perrineau back on the show. Yeah, so love the podcast. Keep doing great work. Bye.
Hey, Jane Jack, this is Carl, and I'm Charles Winmore, and Ryan from Louisville, Kentucky, and just want to say it was a fantastic episode, mind-blowing. Two things, we thought for sure that when someone was giving birth that it was going to be Ben that was popping out and kind of, you know, freak us all out there. And then also, we're just wondering if, you know, with a little clip at the end of the show, previewing next week, shows Ben, like, saying that Michael would do anything for his son. So does Ben actually have Walt in his control, or does he just know that Ben, or that Michael doesn't know where Walt is, so that he can, like, you know, control him that way? I don't know. It's pretty crazy. But either way, I think there's some deceit from Ben's side again, as always.
And if we remember with Ben and Juliet's sister, we can look back and see that even though he might not be telling the complete truth, Walt will be okay. But I think Ben's using that to still control Michael.
Yeah, so that's all we had. Great episode. We'll be listening for the podcast. And once again, with the double flashback, flash forward thing, we just were so lost tonight. No pun intended. Hope to talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Hey, this is Matt in North Carolina. I had a theory I called last week about Walt being on the boat, and I think there are some clues in the show tonight that might lead towards that again. The one in particular that stuck out of my mind was the episode with Walt when he got upset. I believe it was in the first season when he was upset and his parents weren't paying attention to him, and the bird crashes into the sliding glass door and kills itself, and there was this thought that maybe it was telepathy, that Walt had some kind of telepathic powers and killed the bird. And I'm wondering, is Walt on the boat using telepathy to make all of the people on the boat go crazy and kill themselves? There's the scene with the woman reading her book upside down. She doesn't even realize it. Is it because Walt's messing with her mind? And then eventually, does Walt mess with her enough to either cause her to jump off the boat and kill herself, or does she just can't take the craziness anymore? Then we have the scene with the blood on the wall, so we wonder, you know, did somebody die from cabin fever and the banging on the boat? I tried to figure it out. I thought maybe it might be Morse code, but I can't seem to make it out if it is or not. But just a crackpot theory, I guess. Wonder what your guys' thoughts were. Thanks again. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hey, Jane Jack, this is Ken from Kansas City, and I just wanted to say, what's up with all the characters like Mankowski and Zoe Bell's character dying after two or three scenes on the show? We wait all season for them, and then they kill themselves. All right,
thank you for those calls. Now, I mean, a lot of people are talking about, you know, is Jin dead? Wendy die? If he is really dead, is he still alive because of the whole tombstone thing?
Obviously, the question is, he obviously didn't die on the 22nd of September.
Exactly.
2004. So, is he still alive now? Did he die on the island later on?
Exactly. That's a big question.
Did he make it off the island and he's under an assumed name?
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, where is Jin? Is he alive now? But I think the only fact that we know for sure is that he did not die when that tombstone said he died.
Right. Exactly.
So he may still be dead. He may not still be dead. But that also leads a question as to who is one of all of the Oceanic Six. Is Aaron one of those Oceanic Six? Are we going to have one more person that's yet to be revealed?
I was under the assumption we were going to find out who the final one was today.
Exactly.
Right? That's what all the rumors said. So
yeah. I think it's what Damon Carlton said in their interview with Doc Jensen at EW.
And if they're saying Sun is dead, then he couldn't be one of the Oceanic
Jin,
Six.
Jin
is dead. Then he couldn't be one of the Oceanic Six. So it has to be Aaron.
Has to be?
It has to be. Well, who else would it be?
Well, don't know, I guess. I mean, I guess as far as we have to assume, I guess that's what it is.
I'm not counting Kevin Johnson. He wasn't on the manifest.
Let's see. We had a caller talking about how maybe Walt's presence on the boat, maybe Walt still is on the boat because of things going wrong, like Regina killing herself is kind of similar to the bird running into the window and killing itself when he got upset with his parents, maybe. But after today's episode, do you think Walt's on the boat or you just think it's Michael?
Well, Michael wouldn't be without Walt, right?
Yeah, but would we think Michael would be working for Ben at this point, or?
Or maybe it's like people are saying, maybe Walt's working for Michael, or Ben.
And Michael's just kind of like a low-level employee here, or?
He's just mopping the floors and cleaning up the bloodstains.
Yeah, I mean, this episode did bring about like a lot of good questions to discuss. And thank you guys for those calls. And I guess we're gonna actually save more time for more calls on Monday's show.
Right.
But yes, thank you for those calls. Anything else you'd like to say, Jack?
No, I think that's it.
All right, cool. So we're gonna stop the talking now and actually go to Doc R's interview with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. So let's let him take it away. And this was done for UGO.com. I'm sorry?
Does it have any spoilers in it?
Actually, I have not listened to it all the way through yet, so we should find out. There might be. Be prepared.
Okay.
But it's Damon and Carlton, so
yeah,
anything could happen.
Right.
They're probably going to tell us nothing. All right, so let's let Doc R's take it away.
So what episode are you guys up to writing right now?
We're working on 11 and 10 and 9 sort of all simultaneously, but got those 3 out of the 5 in the works.
Wow. How did while you guys were on strike, did the process stop for you mentally, or were you continuing to write in your heads while you were out there marching along?
We were sort of processing more about the episodes that we'd completed than we were looking forwards. You know, that there's always sort of a period about halfway through the season, you know, in this case, that was episode 8, where you kind of say, you know, what's working, what's not working, what could be working better, are we moving fast enough, is it too confusing, what storylines, you know, should we hold off on doing, what storylines do we want to move up? So we were kind of thinking about the episodes that we had completed versus thinking about what we were going to do when we came back, because when we would come back was such a huge question mark.
But we didn't do any, we didn't really talk about the show at all. I mean, we just, you know, we, so it really was a pretty, creatively it was a pretty complete break. And so when the strike ended and we started back, I think we were really kind of refreshed. It's the longest stretch we've gone without, you know, talking about discussing or processing the show, you know, since it started. And when we first came back, there was the first few days were just all about trying to remember, okay, this is where we were, this is what, you know, sort of replanting where all the characters, you know, were in the landscape of the, you know, of the world of the show.
Now, with the new schedule, is the finale going to be 1 hour, or is it going to be 2 hours as traditional?
We're writing it as a 2 hour, but they want to air it as 2 separate hours. So because there's on May 22nd, which is essentially the last day of the season, they have a 2 hour Grays finale, which is going to run from 8 to 10. So that only leaves an hour for us. So it's going to be designed as all of our finales have been, but not unlike the Lost pilot, which, you know, was written as a 2 hour and aired as 2 separate hours. That's what they're going to do.
Awesome. Which character gets episode 9 at this point? Is that something you're willing to talk about?
I don't think we're going to spill the beans on that just yet, but
you'll find out, I'm sure, in record time. It's just considering it's not on the air until April 24th. That's a long time from now. It's 6 weeks away.
How did you guys feel about that change? I know originally that you guys thought that episode 8 was really a kind of a bad place to leave things hanging.
I don't think that's really true. I mean, I think what we thought was a bad thing would be if we didn't get a chance to come back and complete the season. I mean, the concern was really, you know, that if they only aired 8 episodes and the strike went on for a long time, and let's say there was, you know, we were going to have another, let's say, 7 or 8 months before we came back on the air, that the season would feel very incomplete. But, you know, the important thing is that the 5 hours of the show that we have left to write are really going to allow us to end the season and sort of finish the season off the way we wanted to. I mean, some storylines will have to be pushed into season 5, some details about the freighter folk, for instance, but you know, we're going to get a chance to complete the season. And our concern was really just leaving the season open, not that we don't like Episode 8. I think Episode 8 is, you know, I think we both feel like Episode 8 is a pretty strong episode and one that is kind of revelatory in the way, you know, so certain episodes are more, you know, revelatory about the mythology of the show, and that this one falls into that category.
It's just a little bit outside the box of a normal episode of Lost in that, you know, it's intensely character focused on one person as opposed to the entire ensemble. And as Carlton says, it is, you know, a little more focused on filling in blanks as opposed to answering new questions. So it might have been a nice episode to come back to as opposed to go off on. That being said, you know, the last scene in the show is we would certainly define as a cliffhanger and really nicely platforms what episode 9 is going to be. So, you know, all other things being equal, we're happy that, you know, we're going out on episode 8.
Great. Question about the flash forwards. Are we ever going to see on island flash forwards?
I don't think, you know, we will rule out anything. I mean, you know,
who's to say you haven't already?
Now, well, that brings up a good question too. Some people are saying, "Well, have we ever seen a flash forward before? In any were any of the flashbacks actually taking place in the flash forward before through the Looking Glass?"
You know, I think that the show is a giant mosaic, and I think that, you know, where you stand sort of is the answer to that question. And at various points in the journey, you are going to be standing in various spots. And, you know, in the kind of the, you can kind of define them as past, present, or future, but, you know, we like the sort of fractured storytelling, and I think, you know, the way we view it, you'll be sort of looking at, you'll be looking at various aspects of our characters' lives in the story that we're telling. You know, we want to explore that from various perspectives.
Definitely. Now, assuming that Ben was telling the truth, and Charles Widmore is behind the freighter, are we going to be seeing some more of Alan Dale on Lost?
Well, assuming Ben is telling the truth, one would certainly hope that we'll be seeing more of Alan Dale on Lost. But that's always a big assumption to make. You know, that's all we're kind of willing to say on the Widmore issue right now.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So we know the Oceanic Six as well came from a group of 8 survivors. Are we going to find out who those other 2 are?
Well, you know, that's part of a fiction that is concocted by, you know, the Oceanic Six. Many, many things that Jack said on the stand in Kate's trial were untrue, although he was under oath. You know, like the marshal dying in the crash, for example, amongst others. So the idea that, you know, we want to be very clear on the idea that there were only ever the Oceanic Six, you know. So the idea that he said 8 of us survived the crash, the identities of those 2 other people are probably not as significant as everybody is making it out to be. It right. just feels like it's a believable fiction.
Yeah, and you know, but what we can say now is that season 6 will be Jack's perjury trial. It'll be like Brochko's Murder 1. That'll be the whole season.
That's right, I like that idea.
Now, with that in mind, does the narrative structure, is it going to change? You know, now we're having on island in the present with flash forwards. Is it going to stay that way up pretty much up until the end of the season or end of the show, or can we look forward to another change in the future?
This season is really about connecting the dots between what you saw in the finale last year, which was Jack and Kate's flash forward, and the events on the island that were sort of catalyzed by the arrival of the helicopter. So, you know, we're going to put some of those pieces together this season. I think that we can't say too much about what the structure and format of next season is going to be because I think it would spoil the ending of this season. And we want to let this season play out. But I think as this season ends, it will become, you know, pretty apparent what the, you know, where the story wants to go next.
Something that's really, really exciting about us, you know, at the end of this season, you know, we'll have written, I guess, 85 hours of the show. When all is said and done. And the fact that we'll be going into the 5th season of the show and the audience is still going to be asking the question, how are stories going to be told next year? that is part of the fun of, you know, for us as writers, but also for the audience watching the show. You know, most television shows, you kind of know where the season premiere is going to start. You know, basically like, okay, Jack Bauer is going to be, you know, in hour one of whatever the next threat against humanity is. But on Lost, you could start in the hatch with Desmond. You could start off the island with Hurley in a car chase.
You could start with a monkey in a smoking jacket.
You could start with a monkey in a smoking jacket.
Oh, no. Did we say that out loud?
That's season So the season never to be aired. It's only for comic books.
Okay. I have just two more questions, okay? Are we good?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Is the Orchid Station going to show up pretty soon?
The Orchid Station is definitely coming back into play, yes. I mean, you know, we put that film out at Comic-Con, but, you know, we did so because it definitely ties into where we're heading this season.
Cool. And when was the decision made to use time travel as a device in the story?
It's been in the DNA of the show since the very beginning. You know, obviously, you know, one of the things the flashbacks and the flash forwards provide you is the idea of time travel without ever, you know, you're bumping around in time. So events that are happening in the past are influencing the present, but it's not a traditional time travel story until, you know, we started talking about what the hatch was there for, and what this electromagnetic energy that the hatch was trying to contain is, and what would be the effect of that hatch going away, you know, otherwise known as the Purple Sky event. And it was sort of those conversations, which obviously started way back in season one when Locke and Boone found the hatch, you know, that were sort of the early precursors of time travel. But we'll say sort of the, you know, the first significant event, you know, in the show that where we were thinking in the back of our minds, you know, this is going to require a storytelling element that is not traditional narrative, is the discovery of Adam and Eve in the caves.
If I can just slip one more in there, because that raises a pretty good question. Like, a lot of people, like, when time travel was first started to be pondered by the fans, they were like, well, you know, JJ said back in season one that this is not about time travel in the non-linear board on the fuselage and so on and so forth. How do you guys handle it when somebody hits you with a question or something, you know, that's really going to blow the story wide open? I hate to say out and out, you know, lie, but how do you get around, you know, keeping people off the track to keep the surprises fresh for them?
Well, you know, I think that obviously, you know, we're very careful about what we say, but, you know, the truth is, I think that, you know, the assumption that you can figure it all out, you know, presupposes that you know enough about the world of the show to figure it all out. I mean, if I were to tell you at the end of season one, you know, what is your theory for what all the ultimate revelations of Lost are, you know, you would have a very different answer than the one that you have now partway through season four. You know, there's just so much information that viewers now possess that, you know, you have such a different and more detailed knowledge of the show. You know, those early theories just were not informed with enough information about where the story was going. And I guess what we would say is that, you know, there still are twists and turns and unexpected surprises to come. So it's hard to really figure out, I think, where we're going because, you know, the audience doesn't possess quite enough information yet. You know, occasionally people do stumble onto bits and pieces of things that are true, and I think that's great. And, you know, I think but it's obviously something worth, you know, the individual viewer has to, you know, have his or her satisfaction himself, because, you know, obviously we don't want to ruin it for everybody else by saying, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Right, and, you know, the reality is anything that Carlton or I say or any of the people who are involved with the show say, that's all part of the politicking that sort of surrounds the show. You know, we like the idea of being answerable to the show. That is to say, if we do something that the fans don't like, we can come forward and we can apologize for it or sort of explain what the thought process was in executing that particular storyline, or vice versa. If the fans really love something that we've done on the show, that, you know, we can sort of open the door and sort of explain, you know, we weren't able to do the flash forward story until they promised us to end the show, and this is how we were able to end the show, and this is why we're doing three more seasons. You know, the fans are owed that explanation, but in a lot of ways it's like J.K. Rowling revealing that Dumbledore was gay. It's she's saying it, that's part of, you know, her talking about the books, but all that matters at the end of the day is the books. So watching the show Lost, you watch it, the data is there for you to form whatever theories you have, and you can't factor in any of the things that even the creators or actors are saying about the show outside the realm of the show, because at the end of the day, the show will be processed, you know, in six CD, DVD box sets, and you'll watch it, and that will be sort of the complete thing. It will be completely irrelevant as to whether or not we confirmed or denied or speculated. Or the one thing that Carlton and I are sort of, you know, dead fast upon saying over and over again, and we are not lying about, is that the show is not all a dream. You know, it's not, you know, it's happening in the real world. You know, there are actual stakes. It's not going to, you're not going to get to the end and cut to black and suddenly realize that this was all just sort of a fantasy, you know. That's the only sort of significant thing that we need to kind of put out there into the realm, because it does diffuse a significant amount of wacky theories.
Cool. All right, and that's all I have.
All right, Dagars, thank you for that segment. Did you like that segment, Jack?
I loved it. I like everything he does.
Really? You sure? You positive? Yeah. Okay. All right. Do you have the season 4 contest stuff ready?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let's get into that. What do you say? All right. So season 4.
We had two questions answered.
Okay.
There was a third question. It was who would be the first Losty to die.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to rule he was Jen is dead because we don't know.
Exactly. I mean, especially with the date there saying he died in the plane crash.
We're not doing a McKill here.
Yep. We're not having a McKill repeat.
No, we're going to make sure. And there was also one of the questions was 13, who will be the first person to talk to Michael? Well, the first person technically was the doctor. But we're going to say it was Saeed, because Saeed was the first person to actually, I'm sure no one put the doctor.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I'm going to say we're making a ruling. It's Saeed was the first person to say, actually speak to Michael.
Okay, cool. All right.
That's 13. If you said Saeed, that was worth 108 points.
Nice.
Question 15, will Sun have a miscarriage? The answer to that was no.
Yes, that's correct.
42 points. So if you said no, you got 42 points.
Wow, a lot of pointage being given today.
And don't forget, there'll be a second contest we're starting, mm-hmm. and that will come after the final episode, the eighth episode, not the final episode.
Next
before
week.
Before the hiatus. So next week, the Monday episode after the eighth episode, we'll have a whole new contest.
All right. Everyone
who couldn't get into the first one.
All right. Sounds
it's open to awesome. Everybody. So even if you entered that one, this contest, you can also enter the second contest.
Wow. That's pretty gracious, Jack.
Yeah, I'm pretty nice. A little nicer than I should be.
I know. Man, I wouldn't be that nice.
Well, you're not.
All right, Jack, are you ready for the most eventous occasion of the day?
I think this is what people really tune in for.
Well, that's what you think.
I think if we just told them, you know, skip ahead an hour and, you know, 3 minutes. Go skip ahead 63 minutes. You'll get to what you really want to hear.
All right, well, what do you say? I get the drum set ready and get into Jack's crackpot theory of the week. Here we go. All right, Jack, let's hear it.
Are you ready?
I am so ready.
All right, we've been wondering how Ben was able to get a tumor on the island when the island heals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've been talking about how at times Ben seemed to be acting like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Didn't he be acting like a child? What does a child do? To get attention, he holds his breath. He does things. What
messes up the house.
Messes up the house. Does something to get attention, you know, negative attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as we saw today, Juliet will do anything for her patient.
Yes.
Even betray a friend.
Yeah.
Well, not a friend, but betray her patient when she told Jen that Sun had an affair.
Yeah, that's kind of breaking doctor-patient confidentiality.
Right, but she'll do anything
yes.
for a patient.
Yes.
What if the island can heal, if Jacob is the one that can cure things. What
cure,
if he can also
like cancer and stuff?
Cancer.
Right.
What if he can also give you something? What if Ben went to Jacob and said, give me a tumor?
Wow.
So that Juliet would obviously have to be around him. He sent the surgeon off, right? Mm-hmm.
To die,
so,
yeah.
To die, so Juliet would be his doctor.
Wow.
And then he knew the surgeon was coming, a spinal surgeon would come to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was just looking for sympathy from Juliet, so Juliet would get closer to him. He was acting like a 12-year-old then.
Wow.
So that's my crackpot theory, that's how he got the tumor. He asked the islander, asked Jacob to give him the tumor.
Wow. I like it. I like that one a lot.
And that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Wow. Very nice. Nicely done. Nicely done, Jack. I agree. That makes sense, especially...
Hey, you know what? I don't like when you agree with me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That just means they're going to be wrong.
All right, then I won't agree with you. It's stupid. That's a lame idea, Jack.
Thank you.
Terrible.
I appreciate it.
All right. Are you ready to close out the show, Jack?
Yes.
All right. Let's close out the show. All right, guys. That is our show for this Friday.
Yay!
If you'd like to give us a call, give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
Once again, it's 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
With your last questions, comments.
Why were you hesitating there? Why were you hesitating?
I wasn't me hesitating. It's our delay with the Skype.
I know.
Also, give us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out our website at jandjack.com with all important information related to the show, like our MySpace page, our listener forum at lostpodcast.proboards2.com, where you can have discussions on the episodes right after it airs, and also put out your theories for not only Jack and I, but all the other listeners that take part in our listener forum. It's a lot of fun. Check that out. And also, if you'd like to buy a Jay and Jack t-shirt, one of the new designs, they're selling very quickly, so make sure you get yours while we still have them in stock. Check out shopsaminate.com.
This weekend is the big event.
25-hour podcast.
Or autism for charity. Do you want to hear the lineup we have so far?
Sure, let's hear it.
Okay, we're going to be starting off at 3:30.
Okay.
With a very explicit Married Man podcast. It's not for everybody.
It's for
warn
adults
you ahead of time.
Only.
It's adults only. It's an and I've some of the emails that have been sent in right off the bat. It's explicit. It's not for everybody. It's not the Jay and Jack PG podcast.
This is a rated R podcast.
It's a rated R. It has Dell, so it's going to be rated R. That's going to be from 3:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
All right. Then around 6:30, we'll have Jorge Garcia.
Jorge Garcia, yep.
From Lost. Maybe he'll be wearing a suit. I don't know. Like he was today. we're going to be doing the top 10 coolest, toughest movie characters, guys in movies. Top 10 toughest, coolest guys.
Yeah, I'm almost finished with mine.
Are you almost finished?
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been slacking on your list. At 10, around 10:30, I haven't got an email back from, but Kurt Yanko from the Black Rock podcast said he would join us.
Okay.
At, let's see, 11:30, we'll have Josh from the Josh Meister Lost podcast.
Okay.
Then from 1:30 to about 3:30, we're going to have Ryan and Jen from The Transmission.
Zam.
And we're talking about our top 10 albums of all time.
Influential albums
of all time.
Then and some Lost talk as well.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Lost. From 3:30 to 5:30, Jimmy from the Comic News Insider, and we're talking about our 10 top villains in comic books and movies and top 10 heroes and movies, stuff like that.
I'm almost finished with those two. I think I have my top 5 solidified, and now I'm kind of filling out the rest.
That's the last one I'm working on. From 5:30, we're hoping to at least 9:30, we're going to have Ralph from Darmalars on. We're talking about our top 40 movies of all time. Our top 40 movie picks of all time. Ralph is going to do 65 to 40.
Jeez.
He's doing 25 on his own. Jay and I'll be sleeping during that time, but that's okay. And then from 10:30 to 11:30, we're going to have Steve from the Smoke Hatch podcast.
Okay.
On noon, we're going to have Josh, maybe Amanda, from the Lost Flashbacks podcast.
Okay.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And then
I was closing my window.
3:30 to 4:30, we're going to have the Metro Buzz on. And have we decided what we're talking about?
I think the verses they're thinking of right now is Indiana Jones versus the 3 Indiana Jones. What's your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
Okay.
In honor of the new Indiana Jones movie. Maybe. Okay. I think that's what they're kind of going with right now.
And then we got a couple other podcasts that are probably going to join us, giving us call in, but I haven't confirmed times with them yet.
Okay.
Also, you can call
Yes.
During the down times, and keep us going. Keep us whatever you want to talk about. If you want to talk about Lost, you want to talk about sports, anything you want to talk about that you think we might know anything about, which is not much, you can talk about. And here's the number. It's on TalkShoe. It's 724-444-7444. The ID number is 15146.
Okay.
So come join us. It's going to be 25 hours of fun. It's all for charity. We're all looking to have a good time. If you want to send your checks out to, you can mail them out to Jay and Jack, P.O. Box 40716, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27629. But make the check out to Autism Speaks, not to Jay and Jack. But that's our P.O. Box, but you have to put Jay and Jack on the envelope.
And also, you can send your PayPal donations to lpdonate@gmail.com.
Once again, that's
lpdonate@gmail.com. I just set that up today.
Every penny is going to go to Autism Speaks. We're not taking a dime of it. So every penny goes to them.
But Jack.
Yeah.
Every penny goes to them, but every quarter goes to me.
That's
I'm just
nice.
Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That's great. Anyway, people have been asking, will this be on one feed? It'll be, have its own separate feed, and it'll be released in roughly hour and a half, two-hour segments?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to, I mean, it's not going to be like the day after we're done. It's going to take me like a week to get them all together and,
right.
and separate them and put them all together and stuff like that.
It will be on iTunes eventually. It'll have its, like yes. I said, its own feed. Each time we'll probably start off with this is for autism. Like I said,
for Autism Speaks charity.
Autism Speaks, and we'll have the charity out there and the information and stuff. That's probably how we'll start it, and that's how it'll end. It'll have its own little segment and everything like that. So
awesome.
We're ready. We're excited.
Yes, very excited.
But we're going to need you guys to keep us awake during those down times.
Exactly. So Saturday and Sunday.
I'm not talking to Jay because you listen to him.
It puts people to sleep.
Exactly.
So make sure if you guys have any free time within that 25-hour period from 3 o'clock p.m. on Saturday to 4 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, come hang out with us. We need your help to stay awake.
Exactly.
All right. Jack, you ready to close out the show?
I am ready.
All right. So hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.